This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, hello, good evening. I hope you all had a wonderful Yom Tov. Welcome back. The plan for tonight, in Mitzvah Hashem, is the Halacha Shir. We're going to finish off our discussion of Shiduchim. So far we've discussed all aspects of Shiduchim. Is there a mitzvah to be involved in Shiduchim? The Shadchan's fee, all the aspects of that, the different types of fee. The Shadchan approaches the parents approach the Shadchan. Who pays? Is it the parents or the children? Which side pays? Is it the Chosen side, the Kala side? How much one pays? Multiple Shadchanim, international Shadchanim, and Shidduch information. All of that has been discussed in recent weeks. Tonight we're going to finish off with a very interesting discussion about dating Shidduchim and graphology. Let's take a look. The handout, if you're listening online, please email me at j.goldkrug@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. If you're listening here and you've got the handout, we're on the last page of the four-page booklet. Let me give you a background case, which is you know, fact is sometimes stranger than fiction. It's an amazing case. What was the case? There was a couple, a young couple, Chosen and Kala. They were dating, and things were looking very promising. They wanted to get engaged, and one time they were on a date. They sat down, and the girl said to her potential Chosen, her future perhaps Chosen, she said, "Listen, I've got to tell you something, which is a little bit embarrassing, but I hope you'll understand." The guy was a little bit concerned. What's the problem? So the problem was that the father of the girl insisted that before they get engaged, that he would have to submit some handwriting to her when she would give it to the father, and he would take it off to a graphologist who would analyze the handwriting and would be able to tell a little bit about the person, who he was, if he was a good guy, if he'd make a nice husband, what his middos are, etc. And the guy was very put out. The Chosen did not take it very happily. He got upset. He said, "What are you talking about? What a bizarre thing. How strange. How crazy. Who does he think I am?" And he didn't commit to it. And she was obviously distraught. Things were looking so good. They were going to get engaged. And now there was a real spanner in the works. Next date, they got in touch a day or two later. And he said, "Look, I've thought about it. I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to do it." And sure enough, he presented some lines of writing, which she took off to her father. The father took it to the graphologist. The graphologist came back a few days later and said, "Fabulous guy. He is a super, super young man. All the middos that you would want in a husband. He's caring, he's sensitive, he's nice, he's funny, he's intelligent. Allah milas. All the middos tovas that one could ever dream of." They get engaged. And a few weeks after the engagement, this young man says to his kala, says to his fiance, he says, "I've got a confession to make. The handwriting which I gave you was not mine. I went to the best guy in the yeshiva, and I knew he was of sterling midas, had sterling character traits. I got him to write a few lines, didn't tell him why, and then I passed them off as my own handwriting. And therefore, when they went to the graphologist, no surprise, but actually, came back with a glowing report, and now I feel guilty. What to do?" So they went to their Rav. This was not part of his smicha course. So they take it to the great Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, to the great Pesach in Bnei Brak, the son-in-law of Rabbi Yashav, the brother-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. And Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein has to look into this case. What a crazy case. So, in short, what he told them was the following. If we were having a shir in person, then we could discuss it and debate it. But in Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to do that in Mitzvah Hashem in a couple of weeks' time. After the shir, we'll discuss exactly how we're going to take things forward. But this is what Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein told them. He said the following. He said, "There's lechatchila and there's bedieved. This is what should have been done. And now, after the fact, what has to happen? Lechatchila," he said, "it was not acceptable. You should not have done what you did. You shouldn't pass off somebody else's handwriting as your own. That's not MS. That's not straight. There's many issues. There's Gnevas Das, there's Sheker, there's Eino, there's lots of potential issues. And therefore, he said, L'chatchili, he should not have done it. We know that being honest is an absolute value in Yiddishkeit. The Yerushalmi says, if you look at paragraph 4c, the Yerushalmi says that Omer Rabbi Yosi Hadom Rabbi Noshi Tatoni Chada Michla who also La'asa Ve'enem Mikrenle Begem Bintarte. If a guy knows one Masechta and he goes to a place where they praise him for knowing two Masechtas, he's got to tell them. He's got to be honest. Sorich Meimalein Ana Chada Michla Ana Chakim. I only know one Masechta. I don't know two. And moreover, we know the Mishnah says that al shleisha dvarim ha'olim omed, the Mishnah in Ovis and Perek Aleph Mishnah Yutches al adin al emes v'al shalom is one of the footstools of the world. The Gemara in Shabbos Nunheim with Aleph says chos mishal kodesh baruch hu emes. You've got to be truthful. The Peleyoyet says interestingly that when it says in the pasuk midvar checha tirchok that we have to distance ourselves from sheker, it doesn't say don't lie. With all other commandments, it says don't eat treif, don't speak lashon hara. But midvar sheker tirchok is telling us just keep a million miles away from it. It's Lashon HaRachok, you don't find that with other Averas. So therefore, there's a primary focus on truth, and therefore it wasn't appropriate what you did. There's a great story I heard with Rav Rotman. Rav Rotman Zatzal was the Rosh Shiva of Merkaz HaTorah. I heard some years ago an amazing story that the Nossi of Yeshivas Merkaz HaTorah was the great Rav Chaim Kreisworth. He was the chief rabbi of Antwerp, and one of the gedolim of the previous generation. He was the Nasi of the yeshiva, but the Rosh Yeshiva on the ground in the yeshiva was Rav Rotman. Every year Rav Rotman would go to America to fundraise. He would go for a period of 3 weeks, and he would collect money. One time during his trip to America, he calls Rav Chaim Kreisworth, and he said, Rav Chaim, you're the Nasi of the yeshiva, can I have your rishus? What do you need rishus for? I would like to go and buy a dress for my wife. I feel so bad, I'm away for 3 weeks from home, I feel terrible. I want to give her something, to buy her something as a token of my appreciation that she's allowed me to go and, you know, on behalf of the yeshiva. So Reb Chaim said, of course, go, make sure you use yeshiva money and buy a nice dress. Reb Rotman said, what? Buy a dress with yeshiva money? That's not what I was asking. My question was, can I go and can I spend an hour of the time with my own money buy a dress? I'm here on yeshiva business. I'm not here on my own time. Is it okay if I take a bit of time out to go to a store and buy a dress for my wife? Of course I'm going to use my own money. Now that is a question that I don't think many people would ask. But the adherence to MS, to the truth, is of course a primary value. And therefore, says Reb Zilberstein to this young man, l'chatchila, he should not have done what he did. But, b'di'eved, for several reasons, it was okay. It was okay, and they do not have to get disengaged. They don't have to go and tell the father-in-law or whatever it may be. Because lots of reasons. Number one, if you look in box number 4e, the couple were happy to get engaged. And the father has no right to prevent his child from marrying the partner of his or her choice. The Shulchan Aruch says, it's in Simen Reish Mem in Yerodea, in Sif Chofhei, says the Rama, V'chein im ha'av meiche b'ben lisa eze isha sheyachbetz bo ha'ben. If the father is trying to protest, then ein etzorech lishmoy elav. He doesn't have to listen to the father. That's the Ma'arik. This is a whole shir in its own right, and it's not for now. But the bottom line is, the parents cannot prevent. Now, of course, whenever I mention this, I always try and advise that it's worthwhile and very important for children to consult with their parents, because 99 out of 100 times, the parents, and hopefully more, parents want the best interest of their children. They know their children better than they know themselves, and therefore it would be very wise to take on board what the parents have to say. But at the end of the day, the children do not have to listen to the parents in this respect. Furthermore, look what happened to Besuel when he tried to interfere with the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. And furthermore, there's an interesting Gemara that Reb Zilberstein quoted, a Gemara in Nedarim Chaf Zayin, that lying to prevent unlawful action by somebody else who is trying to harm you, you're allowed to lie to prevent that. What's the case? There's a Gemara in Nedarim Chaf Zayin on the base. Imagine a burglar comes in and he wants to steal something. So there's a barrel of wine. He said, perfect, a nice barrel of wine, it's worth a lot of money. And you lie and you say to him that this is actually truma. And therefore you've got a limited market, you can't sell it to anyone other than a kohen. And the value therefore has gone down. And you're lying. The halacha is you're allowed to. Why? Because you're allowed to lie to prevent an unlawful action by somebody else who's trying to harm you. And therefore, in this situation, you'd be allowed to lie. So, for all those reasons, says Reb Zilberstein, that this young man should not have done what he did. However, but after the fact, they would be allowed to get engaged. They would not have an obligation to tell the father what they actually did. I once gave this shiur somewhere else, and a guy came up to me from the audience afterwards, and he told me that this exactly happened to him. That his father-in-law, before they got engaged, insisted on seeing some handwriting. I don't know how widespread this is. When I saw Reb Zilberstein in the Vaharevna, it was the first time I ever heard of it, but his father-in-law apparently insisted on it, and he went to his Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva said, look, it's bizarre, but just go with it. You know, let's see where it goes. And he did it, and he got the handwriting in. The graphologist came back and said, you know, good things. They got engaged, and I know the guy, Baruch Hashem, many years and many children later, they seem, as far as I know, to have a very happy marriage. Sometimes, like I say, fact is stranger than fiction. Okay.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.